So we're on air today with Mandeep Dhillon, who's reporting directly from the celebrations that are taking place in the heart of Zapatista territory in Chiapas, Mexico. Hi, Mandeep.
Hi.
So you've just been in Oventic at the celebrations of the Festival de Digna Rabia, of the Festival of Dignified Rage. I'm wondering if you could tell our listeners what was the ambiance in the events?
So basically, we were able to participate in Oventic yesterday. We got in about midday, and that's when most of the people, most of the internationals and people from other parts of Mexico were getting in. And really, the word, I guess, festival would sum it up. It was mostly an ambiance of festivities, of celebration. There was invitations put out to groups and individuals from different parts of the country and other countries as well to do cultural performances, and that's mostly what was going on throughout the earlier part of the day and the afternoon, late afternoon, and interspersed later on in the day and more so in the evening with a couple of welcomes from representatives of the Zapatistas, and just giving a welcome to everyone who came into the festival. And like usual, I guess, in the international encounters that they've done, there were thousands of people there from different parts of the world, and I guess people coming from the outside outnumbering the number of folks there were from the actual communities. But a lot of people, cold, but I guess the main point was celebration, and that's what they had put out from the beginning in terms of the part in Oventic. Earlier in the week, there were sessions and plenaries and things like that in Mexico City, and that's going to continue here in San Cristobal starting tomorrow. But in Oventic, I think it was mostly celebrating New Year's, and the highlight, I guess, that people were anticipating, and that ended up being the case, was the dance that started at midnight when we hit New Year's and continued till about 6 o'clock, a bit later than 6 o'clock in the morning.
Can you tell us a little bit about the historical significance of celebrating on January 1st there in Chiapas with the Zapatistas and what it means, dignified rage?
Well, I can try to, I guess, convey what I got from what people were saying there. And obviously, I think this year the importance for them is celebrating not only 25 years of the formation of the EZLN, but also the 15th year anniversary of the uprising of January 1st of 1994. So in terms of, you know, celebrating the fact that the movement is still going strong despite all of the repression and the increasing use of paramilitaries in Chiapas against the communities. And also, I think it was a mark, given the presence of thousands of people there, that the support for the Zapatistas has not waned and it's still going strong. And I think we were talking a little bit last night about what, you know, the importance is of these encounters and all of these kinds of questions. And I think, I mean, I can only speculate, but I think as part of their strategy and their need to have that international support in terms of the constant low-intensity warfare that's being waged against them, that it's incredibly important that people still come out and express their support. And being in Oventic and in the heart of their territory, I think, is, I don't know, put out an image at least and at least painted that picture for sure, that, you know, that support is still there and people are still paying close attention to the communiques that they're putting out on the situation here in Chiapas. And so I think as a message to the government here in Mexico, obviously incredibly important as well.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit about what that low-intensity warfare looks like in Chiapas specifically and maybe also generally in Mexico?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think in Chiapas, it's, if you travel around or close to the communities, it's obvious there's an incredible amount of militarization, first of all. You know, there's checkpoints everywhere, and when you're traveling to and forth from Chiapas from other parts of Mexico, obviously you're going through a lot of police checkpoints and oftentimes military checkpoints as well. And that's a reality that the people in the communities here obviously deal with on a daily basis. And besides the open militarization, there's been an increase in and a flourishing of paramilitary groups in the state as well. And I think from what I've heard from other people, And that's almost becoming a more important form of that low-intensity sort of repression, the paramilitaries, that is, than the open militarization itself. And you know, the content, whatever, the attacks on the communities, the fact, you know, the political prisoners that they have, and of course, that's, you know, just the what I would call direct violence. And of course, there's the ongoing violence in the lack of health care and the conditions of extreme poverty, which are obvious. I mean, and I think, you know, in one of the speeches last night, they were saying that, yeah, the movement is still strong and they're struggling. And obviously, at the same time, there still exists a lot of problems in the communities. And of course, those are the reasons why the struggle continues to be there. And of course, as you're mentioning, it's a picture of the situation that exists in other parts of Mexico as well. Just recently in the state of Guerrero, there were a couple of detentions of people involved in the movement again and being accused of being kidnappers and being accused of homicide. One compañero was disappeared and I think since then has been reappeared, so to speak. But in Guerrero, again, a constant situation of violence in that way. And Oaxaca, same story, right? Like the repression didn't end in 2006. There's, I think you'll be able to hear as part of the capsule that we produced while we were traveling through Oaxaca, but one of the compañeros from Cactus was talking to us about the murder, the assassination, better said, of two compañeras who are from Triqui communities who are working on community radio project in Oaxaca. So, I mean, it's just a constant state of this, and with the government of Calderon, it's kind of just this, I don't know, like people call it almost a cynical attitude of just openly, I guess, carrying on with this repression where there's not even the effort to really hide it anymore that there might have been with Fox's government. It's kind of increasingly in the open, the amount of repression that there is.
Mandeep, can you tell us a little bit about how Canada is profiting from what's going on in Mexico today in terms of gutting the economic protection of the lands there and the resources?
Yeah, I think we maybe talk about two quick things, and one of them you guys are experts on, as no one is illegal, which is the migration and the huge, I guess, increase in the number of migrant workers going from Mexico to Canada. And before that, though, is obviously where that migration is coming from. And one of the prime examples that came up in conversation a few days ago was Canadian mining companies here in Mexico. We were talking to people in Oaxaca, and one of the women is focusing her work on investigating a corporation, I believe it's called Silver, and I believe, from what I remember, it's based in Vancouver, and it was just given a concession of 30,000 hectares of land in Oaxaca to start exploration, and so that's something that they're going to be looking at. And here in Chiapas as well, there's an increasing amount of land that is being given over to Canadian mining corporations. And so I think a lot of times we're at sort of this loss of when we're up there to think about how to concretely build solidarity, and I think to go beyond having meetings and encounters where it's great that we share information and share stories of our struggles, but in terms of starting to actually build a transnational movement here in North America, I think working on concrete projects like that where there are Canadian corporations who are doing so much damage here, and of course the migration that is produced because of it, people going through programs like the SOP program or otherwise working as undocumented workers in Canada, I think are definitely two prongs where that solidarity can be built concretely and strongly, and it's being asked for. Furthermore, from people who are down here, and to just start building projects mutually.
Thanks. That's a wonderful way to begin the new year, to think about building those links of solidarity. Mm-hmm. So we're speaking with Mandeep Dhillon directly from Oventik, Chiapas. Thank you for the interview today.